Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 67, 1 through 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you.
Retirement.
And I have another announcement I just received this morning. Dan Winkowicz, who often fills our pulpit, he and his wife, Louisa, were visiting in Ecuador, I think her parents. And evidently while she was there or returning home, she had an injury and tore her Achilles tendon. So she will be in a boot for something like 8 to 10 weeks, and then they will reevaluate and see what needs to be done after that. So their family has kind of a challenge ahead of them, I'm sure. So we need to keep them also in our prayers. And we have one more announcement. We have a very happy birthday today to someone who has given us a great deal of wonderful music. We will return a little bit of maybe not so professional music to him with a happy birthday.
Thank you.
marks the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments."
So it's kind of like having spectacles, or it's really nice to have glasses because it gives you that great illustration. But you have to have two lenses, don't you? In order for me to see clearly, if I only had one lens and did this and didn't have a lens in here, this eye would be super blurry, and then this eye would be really good. And I wouldn't see clearly. I would have headaches, I would have trouble seeing, I would not be able to comprehend depth perception well. All those things would hinder my ability to not only see, but to act and to do things properly. But with both of those lenses, to love God and to love others as myself, I could not only see perfectly and clearly, but I've got depth perception. I've got a better understanding that I'm about ready to walk into this front pew, whereas before I might not notice that and step into it and hurt my kneecap. We all know that. That's important for having two glasses, for having two eyes. That's why God gave us two, so we can comprehend and understand depth and distances. The same thing is true when it comes to the Word of God. In order to comprehend what God wants us to know, He gave us two core commandments. Now, I'd like us to go back. If you have a Bible there in your pew, I don't have one up here with me this morning. But if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is where we find that first commandment. And that is chapter 6 is where Jesus is quoting from. Okay. And it starts off this way in chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you and to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees, and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Okay? So right there is a blessing, isn't it? If you do these things, you'll have a long life. You'll have a blessed life, hopefully a full long life. And here's where Jesus starts. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Excuse me. So for the first thing he says is, "Hear, O Israel, listen carefully to what I'm about to say." And what does he say? All the things that I've just taught you are to show you how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's really what the Old Testament law was about. It wasn't about trying to restrict us, to hinder our enjoyment of life, but to the contrary. It was to show us how we could enjoy life to the fullest. How we could return to what Adam and Eve had in the garden before the fall, before there was sin. Think about it. When you think about the commands of God, what do they typically point us to? Okay, we don't steal. We don't kill. We don't covet what someone else has. We don't lie about someone. Those are all things we don't do if we love someone. It's pretty logical, isn't it? If you love someone, you will not do those things. And the other things that are written there are along the same lines. These are things we don't do if we love someone. Those are kind of like the negative commands. But the positive commands, there's positive things in there as well on how do we deal with someone when we have a conflict with them. We don't go talking about them behind their back. No, we don't do that. We meet with them face to face and we talk it out. And then if we can't agree and we can't come to an agreement, then we take it to someone else and they help us to understand what is right and what is wrong, and we deal with it that way. But we don't go around gossiping and backbiting and slandering one another, because that's not love. If you love someone, you're going to go to them and talk to them about it. So when you look at all those Old Testament commands that there are, every last one of them will show us one of two things. And this is what Jesus is getting at. The Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets show us how to love God and how to love one another. And it's that simple. A lot of those ceremonial laws were how do we show respect and honor to God the Almighty, who has created us, who has a plan in mind that before in the Old Testament, before Christ came, he had a plan in mind to deal with our sin and the fact that because of our sin, we have been separated from him and we can't have fellowship with him until we deal with that sin. And that's what those Old Testament sacrifices were all about. Jesus fulfilled that on the cross. And he gets to that in Matthew 6. I'll get the chapter right here eventually. Matthew 5. Right after the Beatitudes, and then he says, you are salt and you are light. Then he says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. And I tell you that nothing, not the single, the littlest stroke of a letter of the law, and not any jot or tittle, which is what they call those things in Hebrew, not the smallest stroke of a letter will disappear from the law until everything is fulfilled. Now, Jesus began fulfilling that when he came to earth. And he fulfilled all the sacrificial laws. So that's why there is this big debate. When Gentiles who weren't Jews came to faith, do they still have to keep all those sacrificial laws and all those rituals that had to deal with the temple? No. They don't have to do that. We don't have to do that. Most of us are not of probably Israelite or Jewish descent. We don't have to keep all those rituals. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled every last one of those laws that had to deal with the temple and the sacrifices. The laws of cleanliness, Jesus fulfilled them. He declared all foods clean when he said that, you know, don't you understand that whatever you eat goes into your body and then it's pushed out? It doesn't make you unclean. What makes you unclean is what comes out of your heart. That's not what goes into your mouth. What comes out of your heart is what makes you unclean. And so he declared all foods clean by that. And you have that again in the book of Acts when Peter's there and he has this vision and they let down this sheet of all these unclean animals, and God says, take, kill, and eat. And he says, no, Lord, I've never done anything like that because I've observed the law and I've kept the ceremonial laws and the laws of cleanliness. I can't do that because that would make me unholy. And God says, don't declare what I call holy unholy. And he's declared not only the foods, but also people. Those who are outside the nation of Israel can be clean as well if they come to Christ by faith. So Jesus has fulfilled those. Then the rest of the law is there for us to fulfill. How do we fulfill the law of God? And how do we fulfill the laws of love? By doing them, don't we? So everything else in there that is written in the law and the prophets shows us how we are to fulfill the law so that we can love our neighbor as ourself, and to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. They're so intertwined that you can't do one without the other. They go together. That's why Jesus put them together in this passage. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the interesting thing is that when you look at it, really, the best thing we can do to demonstrate love to ourselves is by keeping the commands of God. Because there's blessing in keeping the commands of God. And sometimes people get into destructive behaviors, don't they? Where they continue to do things that are sinful, that destroy their health, that destroy their relationships with others. And those things are not, in a sense, they're not even loving themselves. One of the greatest challenges that we have with some people have today, that I meet people like this all the time, is they have lost, or they have no sense of self-dignity. They have lost their dignity, and they don't even treat themselves with dignity and respect. And so if you can't treat yourself with dignity and respect, it makes it really hard to treat somebody else with dignity, respect, and love. And why is that? Because they have forgotten what it means to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. that really is critical, because without that, then it's hard for us to even love ourselves. It's hard for us to even have hope. Our family just recently heard a sermon on Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a great book because it tells us what life is like without God. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. If there is no God, that is the sum total of life. There is no hope. And everything is just a vain exercise, and we may as well just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die. But that's not what life is all about, because there is a God. And there is this hope and this promise of eternal life with Him. A life that is going to be like that one that Adam and Eve had before the fall. That's what we're going back to. That's why the Christian life and these three things of loving God, loving others, and making that known to others by making disciples is so important. Because God wants to bring the kingdom back, and He wants people to be ready when His Son returns so that they can enjoy life in the kingdom and not be cast out of the kingdom because they chose not to believe in the grace of God. It's really, in a sense, that simple. There's not a whole lot more to the Christian life than those three things. We could go on. It probably wouldn't do us well to go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 gives us the second half of the great commandment, where it says to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. And I forgot to write down the verse. Okay, so let's start in verse 16. It says, do not go about spreading. These are some of the laws. First chapter 19, even verse 8, chapter 18. He's just going through and giving you all these little laws that weren't in the Ten Commandments. And he gives you a whole slew of them. But we'll just start in verse 16. And it says, Leviticus 19:16, it says this. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Not because it's good to do, but simply because this is who God is, and God doesn't do that. Therefore, we shouldn't either. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant. Wait a minute, I jumped down too far. Oh, yeah. 17. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so you will not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That's where we get that verse. That's what Jesus is quoting when he's quoting the greatest commandment in Matthew chapter 22. And if you look at this context, this is one of the things that's challenging for us as Christians. It's challenging for people in the world today, because they think that if somebody tries to rebuke you or tell you that what you're doing is sinful, that, well, you're not being very kind and loving and gracious, you're being judgmental. No. This is what Scripture calls sin. We're not the ones who define what sin is and what sin isn't. God is the only one who has the right to do that. And this is what he defines as sin. So it says, rebuke your neighbor while you are in the way with him, so that you do not share in his guilt. Don't seek revenge, and don't bear a grudge against one of your people. So when you look at that and put that all together, it's basically we need to learn how to, as someone has put it, we need to learn how to speak the truth with grace in love. You speak the truth with grace. You aren't harsh when you do it. You do it with some kindness, recognizing that if somebody comes up and wants to correct you, you sure hope that they would correct you with kindness, right? You don't like it when they hop all over you and they get angry with you and use an angry voice. You don't like that at all. And so that's probably not the way we should treat others when we do it. But what is the motivation behind all of it? The motivation behind it is love. So always to speak the truth, because it says don't slander your neighbor, but speak the truth with grace in love. And we see that again. Where do we see that again? In John chapter 1. When John is talking, And he says, we have seen him, the one who is full of truth and grace, who demonstrated God's love to the world by dying on the cross for our sins, even though he was guiltless. The guiltless one died for the guilty ones. So he always spoke the truth, but he did it in a gracious manner. And he always did it out of a motivation of love, because God loves people. And one of the most loving things you can do is help a person turn from their sin. James talks about that. He who turns a sinner from the error of his ways saves a soul in much trouble. So it's important for us to do that. And that's right there, smack dab, before the verse that talks about love your neighbor as yourself. But it's the hardest thing in the world to do that with truth and grace and love. And there's where the majority of us need practice and a lot of help. It's hard for us to do that. So when you think of the greatest commandment, when you think of the core of Christian life, it really does boil down to those three things, doesn't it? It's helping people understand how much God loves them, how much he has done for them, so that they can experience eternal life, so that they can experience the kingdom of God, the place where Jesus is present all the time, and where God is present, there is no sin. Now, we pray that in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there is no sin before God in heaven, is there? That's what we're praying, that there would be no more sin on earth, just like it is in heaven. No more anger over selfish things, over petty things. No more murders. No more thieves. No more stealing. No more false accusations. No more slander. No more bitterness. None of those things will be present. All those things that destroy relationships will be gone. The only thing that will exist will be what we would call the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the meekness, the long-suffering, and the bearing with one another. That's all that's going to exist in the kingdom of God, in the presence of the King. That's what we're praying for, that these things would be evidenced in our lives and in the lives of the people around us. So this morning, when you think about that, loving God and loving others, how do we love others? Go back to the Old Testament law. It'll show us. And it'll give you lots of examples of people who didn't do it right. You get lots of examples of that. And the consequences for that is sad. I mean, just have to look at King David. And he was called a man after God's own heart. And yet, he failed so many times, didn't he? But what did he always do? He confessed his sin, and he turned away from those things and didn't do them again. And therein is the freedom of repentance. Repentance is one of those things that we should get up in the morning and say, God, show me where I need to repent. Because as we turn away from the things we shouldn't be doing, what's happening? We are becoming more like Jesus. And who doesn't want to be more like Jesus? Anyone not want to be more like Jesus this morning? The best way to be like Jesus is to have God show us where we need to stop sinning, the things we need to stop doing, so that we might be more like Jesus. So we kind of ought to be excited about the whole process of repentance, because it's the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's how God demonstrates his love to us, because he gives us his Spirit to encourage us when we do good and to gently prod us and let us know when we do bad, when we don't measure up to his perfect will. I could go on. This is a nice little introduction to this whole topic, but you have the basics of it. So this morning, think about it. Contemplate on it this week, and may the Lord bless you as you strive to do and fulfill that irreducible core of loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, and making him known, making disciples of Jesus Christ as you go, wherever you go, just like it talked about in Deuteronomy 6. when you walk in the way, when you sit down, when you stand up? Is the word of God constantly on your heart and mind so that it influences and impacts every thought, deed, and motivation of your heart? That's where we want to be. That's where we want to go. Let's pray. Blessed Father, we're so grateful that you have given us your word. And Father, you have made it so simple for us. And sometimes it's those simple things that are so difficult for us to be able to practice and apply day in and day out with consistency. So, Father, we ask right now that you would help us and that by your Spirit, which you have given to all of us who come to you, Father, that we might be able to be obedient to the proddings of your Holy Spirit and to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters day in and day out to do those things and demonstrate our love to you and demonstrate our love to the people around us. Father, we also ask that you would help us to gossip the good news of Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with day in and day out. Help us to be fervent in prayer and never grow weary in praying for the souls of others. We ask all these things in the blessed name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Shall we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Benediction, or we want to do the, let's do the song, and then I'll close with the benediction afterwards. Okay. What goes to around leaning on the everlasting arms.
I invite you to stand while we sing our closing.